on this episode of Still Loading, don't break out the Joy Loop just yet! Hey guys, and welcome to the newest episode of Still Loading. My name's Josh, and I'm here with my friend Andrew.
Woo, that's me.
And today we're talking about one of our personal favorite games, Metal Arms Glitch in the System. Now, this is going into the obscure game files category because not a lot of people actually have heard about this game. So before we really dive into our opinions of it and everything, a little bit of background about the game. It is a third-person shooter developed by Swingin' Ape Studios. It came out in, I think, 2003. I could be wrong. I'll send a correction episode.
Wikipedia.
Yeah, you can do that research for us. But
let us know in the comments what year it actually came out.
But, yeah, so it came out in, like, 03-ish, and it's a third-person shooter. You play as a droid or a robot named Glitch. Hence the name Glitch in the System, but yeah, and it's basically just a shoot 'em up, and arguably one of the best ones I've ever played. It was developed by Swingin' Ape Studios, and unfortunately, that studio no longer exists. It was bought out by Blizzard at some point, and so we're not looking for any sequel anytime soon. But yeah, so Andrew, what was your first experience playing Metal Arms?
Oh, man. This is probably going to take a lot of people back. And before I get too far into that, I want a disclaimer. I am getting over being sick, so I sound like I've been smoking for 30 years. So
oh, honey, how you doing?
If I got to clear my throat and cough and stuff, it's because
I remember chocolate. I always hated it.
Oh, Metal Arms. I remember Metal Arms. Do you guys remember when magazines would come with demo discs? All right, I'm not going to talk about that the whole time. It's not called Original Xbox Magazine because they wouldn't call it that. Official Xbox Magazine, which was for the original Xbox.
Now they should call it Original Xbox Magazine.
Yeah, I think it's actually defunct. I don't think the magazine exists anymore, just like Nintendo Power. But yeah, the Official Xbox Magazine would come with demo discs, and they had like just a ton of content. And that was one of the coolest eras of gaming because demo discs were such a cool way to... That was when... You know, Xbox Live was first coming out or whatever year.
I mean, and now they have to do it all online with the store, so they don't need demo discs anymore.
Yeah, but you could, like, pop in a demo disc, play, you know, a little snippet of the demos, watch some trailers and stuff, and it was almost like a catalog for games that were going to come out.
You see, I wish they would do that more, though. Like, we should do a whole episode.
I
want to do a whole episode on demo discs now that I'm just thinking about it, because... That would introduce you to games that you would never have played otherwise.
Yeah.
Like, how many people tried out, like, Pa Rappa the Rapper and like on a demo disc? But if you looked at that on the shelf, there's no way you would have bought that.
Yeah, what is this? Yeah, that's a good point. We definitely should do that because I still have all my Xbox Magazine demo discs, like, around, you know... Floating around somewhere. And,
my uncle gave me a whole stack of PS1 demo discs. I'm talking like it's easy, like 2 inches thick of CDs. Yeah.
I have, I think the first magazine issue that I got was like issue 4. And I think I subscribed until it was into like the 60s. So I have like a ton, like you said, a huge stack. But anyway, so this one game, Metal Arms, was... Just out, when I first saw it, I was like, "What is this Ratchet and Clank?
What is this garbage?
Yeah, what is this? What is this garbage? Not in my house." But I was like, "Oh, whatever. I'll play it. I don't have anything better to do." And I ended up really liking it. And I played the crap out of the demo. Like, it was so innovative. Like the way we were talking about earlier, the damage on the enemies, where you can like they feel like robots. They don't just feel like enemies that look like robots,
like instant kills,
like exactly.
Like it's not faces. Each enemy, in a bizarre way, almost has a personality, even though they have no personality.
Yeah, even though they're kind of all the same personality, they feel like they physically have one, because like you'll be shooting enemies and like an arm will like start dangling from wires and start like the gun will keep going off.
So I guess to kind of explain this, because otherwise it's a little hard to visualize. So Metal Arms, like I said earlier, you play as a robot named Glitch. You are fighting other robots named, I guess we should have explained the story.
Probably. I think it looked like the opening cutscenes.
But all right, so really brief, but we'll talk about the story more in depth, but really brief overview of it. The droids inhabit a planet called Iron Star. Iron Star. They rose to prosperity, but then one of their scientists created the Millbots by accident when he was trying to advance droid kind. Now the Millbots have taken over the planet, and the droids are in retreat, and there's only a handful left, and they have staged a rebellion in a place called Droid Town. So you are a new robot that was discovered in the ruins of Iron Star in one of the old cities, and no one's ever seen a droid like you, and you go out and you help the droids fight the Millbots. Now, the Millbots, like Andrew was talking about before, you can do interesting things to them. Since they are robots, the developers get away with a lot more than what they could have done if it was like a human or if like a human character or something like that. So when you shoot an enemy or you damage an enemy, you can actually damage their arms or their legs, and so they can't. Since they are robots, they can go haywire. So if you shoot an enemy enough in the arm, maybe the arm will blow off, or if you do just enough damage to it, they can't control it anymore. So you'll see a bunch of enemies wandering around with arms flailing around, and they'll try to shoot you, but they can no longer control where that arm goes, so they're just shooting all over the place.
Yeah, you can even like blow the whole top halves of their bodies off, and they'll just blow up into like the nuts and bolts and stuff, and just the legs will be walking around like aimlessly, or you can blow their heads off, and their bodies will still be there, and they'll be dumb because you've blew off their head, so they'll just kind of wander around.
Well, my personal favorite is when you shoot out their back, so they're just like bent yeah, over backwards.
Broken
but
back,
both like, of their arms are also broken, so they're literally just like, I almost fell off my chair. Literally are just like wandering, or you just see a pair of legs with this guy bent over backwards, his arms falling out, like, and he's grunge. Trying to shoot you, but he can't aim at you. and then some of the other cool things you can do them, if you, like he said, you can blow off their heads, you can also just blow off the rest of their body, and it's just legs running around.
Yeah.
And they kind of run around and they'll kick you like, you're a piece
of
shit.
Oh, that's right, yeah. If the legs find you, if you attack them, their legs will come up and just kick you, which
like
is kind
of
funny.
Piece of shit.
Yeah, how dare you? I also really like there's a hacking aspect to the game where eventually you'll get like this sort of tether that you can, if you come up behind certain enemies, you can like hack into them and take control of them. Or there's certain spots that like look like little arcade games where if you get enough like these bypass chips, you put them in and you'll wirelessly link into one of the enemies. Mm-hmm. And then you can, if you don't start shooting automatically, the enemies will like kind of come up to you and be like, hey, what's wrong? Or like they'll be like, something suspicious. Or what is the one line they always say? Posted operation number now. And they'll like become more suspicious of you over time. And then you obviously can like wreak all the havoc that you want, but you can get into like the big huge enemies with like the dual chain guns.
At first the only way to take over them is there's little arcade cabinets thrown throughout the levels, and you can go into those arcade cabinets and then take over an enemy.
Yeah,
later on you get a weapon called the tether control.
Yeah, that
and
was
you
it.
Shoot it into their D port.
Oh, she wants the D port.
you shoot it into the D port, and it like you can like project your conscious. Essentially the Glitch goes into there, takes over their body, and Glitch's body just falls to pieces.
That's right, I forgot about
and
that.
And then when the enemy dies that you're controlling, you just reassemble. And I used to stand right by an enemy enemy like producer maker like building machine or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And then I would tether a guy, he'd rush in and I would just suicide mission it. And then I just wait for the next
just get
one
another
to be built,
free one.
And just
you don't even have
in.
To like play as yourself, you can just play as the enemies.
It's really fun.
Yeah.
So you were playing it on the demo disc. That was your first experience to it.
Yeah.
After we kind of got off track. But
yeah, we got off track talking about the game.
But yeah, whatever.
The demo discs were super cool because they even had – this is going to be like going way back to the conversation that we just
– I do a lot of Rusher games. So people are used to it. So it works.
There were even the official Xbox Magazine demo discs eventually did like Easter eggs – where there was a handful of them where it must be like in the magazine they tell you how to trigger this, but I think if you hold both triggers, you had to play like almost like a Simon guessing game, which was super advanced for its time.
This isn't Metal Arms. This is something else.
Well, I think it was the Metal Arms disc that had one of these on it, but you would hold both triggers and then you'd push like X, and if nothing happened, then you'd try like A, and then nothing happened, you'd try B, and then it would start to like very slightly vibrate, and then you'd push Y, and if it was the correct sequence, it would keep vibrating a little bit harder. And if not, then it would kill the vibration. So you'd have to like keep remembering which buttons to push. And you could get into some secret demos. Like there's another, if you ever want to do another episode for this game called Phantom Dust.
I've heard nothing but good things about that
one. Man, that game is super good. But that the Japanese demo of that was hidden on one of the demo discs.
That's really cool.
And that's how I got into that game. So segue into, I don't think Metal Arms was a hidden demo by any means. I'm pretty sure this was the featured demo. But as soon as I played it, I was instantly hooked. I was like, this is so advanced for its time. Like, all the things you could do were super revolutionary. And I think for that Christmas, that was what I wanted the most. And my grandparents got it for me. So cool. I was like, yes.
And the reason I even asked you on this is because you are one. This is why it's on the hidden gem. It may not have been a hidden demo, but it is definitely a hidden gem.
Oh, yeah.
Not just the Xbox. I played it on the PS. Actually, originally, I played it on the GameCube. But it's for all the systems of that generation. You can get it for GameCube, PS2, and Xbox. And if for those who are looking to pick this up, it's not an expensive game.
No.
I definitely suggest picking it up, though. But I actually asked you to be on this one because you are one of the few people that I've ever spoken to that has actually knows what this game is.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, for a while I'm going to be sticking with my hidden gems or obscure game files, I should say. I'm going to be sticking with a lot of games that I know, but obviously that well's going to dry up at some point. I'm going to have to go be like, hey, what other games do you people know? But anyway, so Metal Arms... For me, I first discovered it when my friend down the road had it. Actually, he's been on this podcast before, my buddy Tristan. He lived down the road from me when I was growing up, and he would tell me about this game called Metal Arms, and I watched him play it, and I got hooked on it. I would go over to his house and not talk to him so I could play Metal Arms. I was one of those shitty friends.
Hey, do you want to? You want anything to eat? Shut up, let me play your games.
Hey, Tristan, you want to hang out and I can play Metal Arms and you can go into another room? Okay, thanks, bye. But no, so I played it on the GameCube and I got hooked. And I remember I picked it up, so I went on a missions trip with my church one year, and I remember for like two or three, I was really young. I was only like 14 or 15 at the time.
That's how old I am now.
What are you talking about? I'm still in high school. But
what was that movie with Steve Buscemi where he's like, hello, fellow kids? He's trying to play like he's a high schooler.
I have no clue.
YouTube, tell us. YouTubers, whatever you put this on. iTunes, people, tell us. Can you even comment on iTunes?
I have it on. I post on Libsyn, but it goes. I can get comments. People can tweet me. I'm going to put my Twitter stuff at the end.
If I know anything about internet people, they like to correct people. So
that's
I'm
why
sure
I have,
they'll.
Well, what I'm doing, I did do a correction episode where a friend of mine corrected me on. I messed up the story of Metroid. And
how could you? Did you say Samus was a guy?
No, I didn't.
He is the coolest. Metroid is the coolest character. He's almost as cool as Halo.
I wish I was a dude like him. What? No. No, but I did a correction episode, so I'm like, you know what? No one likes being corrected, so I had to have a little bit of fun with it. So I made up a whole fake backstory for him about how he hunted like communists in Siberia for 50 years.
Oh, wow.
He was born in the 1800s and this other stuff. And he discovered the internet in 2000. It was great. So I might, for anyone who corrects me, I might actually create like a fun little backstory. Like, not as like a jab at them, just, you know, just because why not?
As an incentive to be as annoying as possible and know it all.
I didn't even think about that.
No, cancel, abort.
No, but
anyway. Oh, there comes the puberty voice. Abort, hey guys, I'm only 12.
It's all good.
I'm a man.
Oh my gosh. Hold on. I can just edit that out. Anyway, so, yeah, so I went on a missions trip, and I actually picked it up. On the missions trip while I was down there, we went to a mall in Texas because we went to a missions trip in Mexico, and we had a day off in Texas one of the days during the week. You can just
I'm
move
just up. Trying to be quiet.
You can move real quick. I'll
okay. Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry. I got to move around real quick. Ah!
Right.
Don't edit everyone. That out. Send that to me. I want it to be my new ringtone.
Next time I call, I better hear that. I'll just call, I'll just show up at your house and I'll start calling. I hear. But
hey, remember that time I was sick and I couldn't scream and it just sounded like
a girl,
a little boy,
Hey, little boy. No, so I went. We were on a missions trip and we had the day off in Texas and we went to a mall. And I remember we went to a GameStop and I asked my dad, "Hey, could you get this for me?" And he surprisingly said, "Yeah." So he got me Metal Arms when I was down there, and I had to wait like 4 days to play it because I was already hooked on it from when I was over at Tristan's house. And then when I saw it down in Texas, I'm like, I gotta have this game. I have to have it. My dad was nice enough to buy it for me, and we flew back home, and I got to play the crap out of it, and I finally beat it on my own. But what that was my first impressions of it. Some of the other cool things about this game is its sense of humor.
Oh, it's hilarious.
So the quote that you heard at the beginning of the episode with that joy lube.
Don't break out the joy lube just yet.
Is one of the quotes from the game. Even though it's a bunch of robots, like the very first one of the jokes that still sticks with me. You're chasing after a bad guy, and you beat the level like it's a car level, and you catch up to him, but the bad guy you're trying to chase runs across a bridge into like a zombie area, like cave system. And because there are zombie robots.
There are zombie robots. I was going to say, we're getting a little ahead of ourselves.
Oh, that's all right. We'll get up there.
There's zombie robots. There's driving. People like taking mental checklists. Like, what does this game not have?
Everything. It does have everything in. And so, Glitch hops out of the car and he runs across the bridge. And he's like, and the people who are left in the car is some old man and a dog.
An old man robot and a dog robot.
And Glitch goes like, "You guys are just going to slow me down. I'm going to chase him through the caves. You head him off at the pass." And the old man robot's like, "Head him off at the pass? Who the hell says that? What are you, some kind of fucking cowboy?" But since it's rated teen, they bleep it all out. But yeah. It's clear, like, it's not even, like, they didn't even try. You hear F and then the bleep. So it's like, it's not even like they're trying to hide the swear word. You know what he's saying.
It sounds like F-U... bleep CK. Like, it's bleeped, but it's in the middle of the word, so it's not really censoring anything.
But that was enough to give him a teen rating. Yeah. What's even funnier is, like, when you go through, like, that cave system, you see, like, corpses of robots dangling, and there's oil dripping, and you're like, man, this would be really fucked up if this was a bunch of human bodies. But they could get away with so much because it was robots.
They take, like, the Samurai Jack route, where he's, like, literally will cut a dude's face in half, and you're like, oh, wait, there he's sparking. Okay, he's a robot. It's still super cool, but it's like, eh.
But even going back to its sense of humor, one thing it was even in my notes to mention, it's the game starts out already. Like, when you create a new game, it gives different difficulties, and the toughest difficulty is Nuts of Steel.
I love it.
And that right there is just like the start of it. And then as you go through the game, pretty much the first mission is you just rescuing a bunch of droids in a mine. And then after the mine collapses and you have to escape. So you have to seal the mine by blowing it up. And then a mission after that, there are still some Millbots in Droid Town who were trying to take care of the mine. So you have to clear them out. One of those Millbots escapes, and that's when you chase him down in what they call a RAT, which is a rapid armored transport, to chase the guy down and try to get him. Excuse me.
Not excuse me.
You're disgusting.
I don't want to be excused. I don't need your pity, YouTube, iTunes, wherever you're listening to this on.
You just don't know podcasts, do you?
No,
I don't. Listen to podcasts on the YouTube, right?
I used to do podcasts when I was a kid. We had green bean pods in the backyard. We'd pick them up and try to cast them across the yard.
Wow, I followed all of that, actually. Like, I could predict what you were going
good,
to say.
That's good, because I didn't.
I could start predicting what you're going to say next. But so, so the game, like I said, has a fantastic sense of humor. And after you actually beat the droids or whatever, beat the Millbots in Droid Town, you have to chase after the guy who escapes. That's where the whole Joy Lube thing is. It was like, no time to celebrate just yet, or don't break out the Joy Lube just yet. That guy still got away. And they always have some kind of different, like, robot, like, I don't even call it a pun, but, like, it's essentially a pun for, like, ass, or one of the other good ones
your rusty chassis. Your rusty chassis, yeah.
Or it, my other favorite was like, if you mess this up, I'm going to weld your exhaust pipe to your like ball bearings.
That's just like getting your balls fused to your butthole.
I think they could have pictured it without you saying it.
Put up a picture of that.
No.
Guys, Google balls fused to butthole.
Why would you do that? That's disgusting.
They kind of take the like Transformers, like, you know, they had a lot of, especially like Beast Wars, like, oh man, I love Beast Wars so much. And there's a line I always remember in Beast Wars where somebody says, that guy's got bearings of chrome steel. they, like that kind of thing. Bearing balls. You can say it without saying it because it's a kid's show type of thing.
I don't have much more to say on the sense of humor part of it. Do you have any other jokes that you could think of from it? Like,
oh man, it's been so long since I played it. We did play a little bit to like kind of get a refresher.
I was playing it, like, I did tweet out a picture of me playing it earlier, but it just said Sierra Entertainment. No one could see what the game was. But, so I got pretty far into it. I beat the whole, so I guess we'll break down some of the enemies. I was about to talk about the zombie robots.
Well, yeah, because that's a good segue, because I was going to say, like, I remember the comedy kind of fizzling out a little bit, because it gets pretty dark, like... Once you get into, like, there's these zombie robots where, like you're saying, there's, like, quote-unquote corpses of robots and oil dripping. You eventually get into, like, this junkyard, and it's, like, this forgotten area where there's literally just piles of scrap that will come alive.
Robots everywhere. Yeah.
And this, one of the scariest things was, until you got used to it, the mechanics was every time you would kill a zombie robot, it would disassemble, but then it would reassemble again. So until you... remember that you had to kill them all twice. Like, you would kill one, it would fall apart, and you'd keep going, and you'd hear behind you, like...
And they're fast.
They book it at you, and, like...
And they don't have any range attacks, but they'll swing at you, and so they can knock you off into like, water and kill you instantly. Now it actually makes sense why water kills you, unlike what I thought of.
I know, right? It wasn't until, GTA 4 where you could actually learn how to swim.
So, so you fight a bunch of Millbots. Now, the way it works, we'll talk about the combat in general. So you as Glitch, you can have a multitude of weapons. And what's cool is, since he's a robot, he literally will take off his hand and then put a gun on his hand. It's basically like, think of Barrett from Final 7 where a gun's grafted into his arm, but this is interchangeable. So you have a machine gun. You start out with what's a mining laser, which is a really weak-ass weapon.
It's just a pew-pew gun.
But it is unlimited ammo, which is really nice. Then you get a saw blade thing, which you can cut wires to, like, knock things down on enemies and, like, put, like, knock floors out from under them if they're being suspended by wires.
So cool. A lot of really cool physics-based combat, which was didn't come up that often in that era of games.
This is kind of like a minor thing, but the grenades, the coring charges.
Oh, yeah.
They are the most I've never felt more satisfied throwing grenades, even if it doesn't destroy anything. You just feel like every grenade you throw, I'm like, that was the perfect throw.
The arc of it was just, I have so many fond memories of, this was one of the games that I played so much that was kind of burned into my vision for a while. You know, when you like play a game too much and you close your eyes and you still see it. Like, when I was a kid, that was one of the games for me. That and the original Halo. Like, I used to, going slightly off topic, I used to play the original Halo so much that I would like dream in Halo. And a lot of people are like, well, sure, I've had video game dreams before. I would actually dream everything perfectly. Like, the heads-up display, the level progression was exactly the same, the voices were exactly the same. Nothing weird would ever happen. It would always just be Halo.
That's, like, the strangest but most boring dream I've ever heard. Like,
Halo
itself would be fun, but, like, when you dream... I can picture when someone else dreams about a video game you play, they're, like, in the game themselves, like, you are Master Chief.
Or yeah.
For Metal Arms, you are Glitch. But you just dreamt you were playing the game just like you were doing in real life. It's like... the most awesome idea, but executed in the most boring way.
I know. Like, nothing. Like, I'm in the dream world. Anything can happen, but because all I've been doing, because I'm, what, like 12 years old, and all I do is like play Halo and jerk off. Like,
what?
I mean, what else did you do when you're 12 years old?
Well, I wouldn't.
Is this podcast TV? Because we've already...
Oh, my God. I was not expecting that. All right. Anyway, moving on that. So
talk about the combat. Oh, the weapons. Yeah. Yes, that's the weapons. One of the coolest... I mean, it does... That's one of the things where it is kind of like the Ratchet and Clank, like, very unique weapons. Like, there's the blades.
Well, I wouldn't even say they were that unique. They were just diverse. Like, because you've seen all those weapons in other games and done, not better, but differently.
Yeah.
I think they did it really well, because each... A lot of the weapons were upgradable. And so you could get, like... You could upgrade the saw blades so that they would bounce around more often.
Yeah.
Now, you could upgrade the spew, which is this machine gun... to fire faster and do more damage. You could
I like
the laser.
Rivet gun.
The rivet gun was my gun was their version of a sniper. You're literally just shooting like rivets that you would steal and like that you would see like you know.
They were like railroad ties. They were huge.
Like, they were huge rivets that they would shoot.
And when you upgraded that all the way, it would stick into them for a second and then blow up. So like the most satisfying thing was like impaling a robot's head, watching it like dangle around on the wires for a few seconds, and then just he exploded into a flame of
it was
parts.
Awesome. And like so then you also had was there a flamethrower? I can't remember.
I don't know if you get a flamethrower, but there was a flamethrower level where you played as a character who only had a flamethrower, and you got the firebombs. That was the creepy level with all the spider spider robots. That was if you didn't have claustrophobia and arachnophobia before that level,
you do after that.
Consult your nearest physician or psychiatrist.
Doc, I have a mental problem. That's great. I can cure your broken foot, but I can't. I don't know how you cure your broken foot. It's a weird way to say it. But anyway, so the tons of different weapons, you can upgrade all of them. The enemies then are like, it starts out with some really basic ones, just normal Milbots. Now, the Milbots also have.
Milbots? Sorry.
The Milbots, or Milfbots, whatever, have guns grafted in their arm, but unlike you, they can't swap them out. They can't change. They're stuck with that one weapon no matter what. So you'll have rocket launcher guys, you'll have sniper guys, you'll have machine gun guys, you'll have saw blade guys. And then as you go farther in, you'll find different types of... There's like flying enemies that basically look like flying octopuses that have razors for legs. Those were a pain.
They like dive bomb you.
They go up really high and dive bomb you. My personal favorite fights were the Titans. They're giant walking mech suits with twin chain guns for hands. Because no one actually has hands in this world. They, they don't need hands. They don't need to pick stuff up. And then,
how do they apply the joy lube then? Just like with their guns.
The saddest one ever. It's just like two steel pipes trying to like. Never mind. You can use your imagination. And then if you up, then there's other versions of those of the Titans though that would get side mounted rocket launchers. And so they would have the twin chain guns and side-mounted rocket launcher.
Yeah, they were a pain unless you could hack
them. Well, what you would do, what my strategy for the ones, you get the rivet gun and
shoot the rockets.
The rockets off.
And it's like hanging and they're shooting all their friends or shooting themselves.
Oh, yeah. So, like we said, the enemies, you can damage them and they lose control of their limbs. You can either blow the limbs off or they lose complete control of them. Same thing for the Titans, just as the small Milbots. So, if you damage something, nothing's more satisfying than like wrecking an enemy's arm, especially the rocket launchers guys. And they'll be staring at you, but their arm's going crazy. It's like doing the hokey pokey. Over with just the one arm, and then they'll try to shoot you, but of course their arm just happened to be aiming right at their own feet, so they blow themselves up. Or if you mess their grenade arm up and then they throw grenades behind them or like over to the side. Oh, it was amazing.
I think the Titans, if I remember correctly, you could blow their legs off and their torsos would just land on the ground and they couldn't move, so they would just be like these angry little like bodies of robots that are trying to kill
you. Lawn
can.
Gnomes.
Yeah.
Like angry lawn gnomes that just want to kill you. So the combat was really fun. Now, I'd have to check the Xbox version because I had the PS2 one and GameCube. But at least in the PS2 one, if too much starts happening, the frame rate will drop pretty bad.
Yeah.
But I don't know because I think the Xbox was actually more powerful than the PS2. So
it
the
was.
Frame rate might not drop at all.
I don't remember it. dropping too much, but that was also like the golden age of gaming when you're like too young to even know that there are such things as bad games, you know?
Or like, well, even if you did, like, I remember being young and noticing like the game slowed down, but I didn't know that was a that it was the frame rate drop.
Whoa, this game's got slow motion. This is awesome.
It's I used to slightly off topic, but when I had Halo parties, we would play the longest. Remember that multiplayer level?
Oh, the hallway?
It's just a hallway, right?
On rockets only,
we would
right?
set with rockets only yes. and infinite grenades. And it was, and we would sit, we would, even though it was designed for up to 8 people, we would stick 14 people in there.
Oh, God. Well, so, you could get up to 16, I think, on
yeah,
Xbox.
Yeah, you could. And it was the most congested, chaotic mess. And it was amazing. People were dying all over the place. And, oh, my gosh. It was awesome.
We could do a whole episode on Halo, and I'll just talk the whole time.
That okay. So then, yeah. So that's pretty much it. That's the combat. I mean, there's not much more to talk about.
We can talk about
the
vehicles, because there was a good bit of those. Like, we just played the one level in the mine where you get this, like, mine cart, or that's like a hover cart that has a gun on it, but it also has, like, these pincers on the front. So I think like your left trigger was like shooting the gun and your right trigger maybe swapped. I'm not sure. Somebody correct me quick. But you could pinch the enemies and like throw them off of ledges. Or I remember pretty much everything you could do in the single player, you could also do in the multiplayer, which is another thing we can talk about. The multiplayer was a lot of fun because you would just be like two like little glitch characters and you would run around and there's vehicles and there's other robots, like the enemy robots, but they would just be stationary and you could hack into them and like take a bigger robot to go kill your friend. Or if you found like that cart, that hover cart one with the pincher grabber thing
you
on the
just
front,
pick your
you could pick
up.
Him up and like swing the camera around and just throw him like across the level or like
there,
down into the pit.
There's nothing more satisfying than that. Like even in the campaign, you could pick enemies up and then drop them in the water. Pick them up, yep. And since it's all robots, they just explode.
Yeah.
And you had a machine gun on it. I also really liked they had, like I mentioned it before, but the rapid armor transport.
Yeah, that, those driving levels were really cool. I remember those.
The driving they were super fast, but they were super hard to handle. Like, they were super touchy. And when we were playing over on your TV, since it was on HD, there was a delay input.
Yeah.
Delay lag, so I don't even want to think about trying those levels on that when it was a delay input already.
Yeah.
But vehicle levels were an immense amount of fun. They're very difficult, though. And each level... Actually, you know what?
The whole game was kind of difficult. I remember towards the end of the game getting super frustrated.
There's a level. It's been a while. I didn't make it up to there when I was replaying it for this episode. But there's a level I still remember vividly called Sniper Alley. And it's literally you're walking through a city and it's filled... Like a ruined city.
Oh, yeah. Like the old
droids.
And
there is, like, snipers everywhere with rivet guns.
I remember that. And there's like the little like outposts, like little like guard towers everywhere, and they're all like above you shooting down at you.
And I remember there's lots of like hidden snipers, and it was crazy. But you also get, I guess before we, one last thing to talk about, the secondary weapons. We talked about all the main ones. You have coring charges.
Right.
You have a scope, which I always think is kind of goofy because if you think about what he's actually doing, since he has one arm grafted in, the scope's not on the gun. So he has he's pointing his arm out to shoot, and he has his other hand putting the scope in front
just
of
like
his
up
eye.
To his eye.
Up to his eyes. So.
Well, it's not as weird as like GoldenEye when like the interface was in your watch, so you would just like boop, just like bring it up to your face, like just covering your eyes with your wrist, and all the enemies are like, okay, guys, let's let him do what he's doing, and once he stops, we'll continue bring him with bullets.
So then some of the other weapons you have, you had a shield you could pick up that would protect you. You also had these things called cleaners, which pretty much it looked like, I don't know how to describe what they look like.
It would fly after your enemies?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're like the blue shell.
Yeah, they're like it's like the blue shell. You throw it up and they just shoot missiles.
Yeah.
I believe it was missiles. It was crazy. I know there was more, but I don't remember all of them.
Yeah, it's a very like nostalgic game for me. Like when we were playing just a second ago, I think we only did the first couple levels just to be like, yeah, this is I remember everything. Like,
it still holds up.
It kind of does. Yeah, I mean it's definitely a little bit dated, but not. I mean, I would definitely go back and replay
the game.
I would say
the level design is a little dated.
Yeah, definitely.
But it still is fun to play. Like the actual combat is still really satisfying.
Oh yeah. I just remember, like, as soon as you picked up that big health pack that looks like the Neutron, I was like, yes, and it took me, like, all the way back to when, like, when I first got the game.
What's also cool is that as you play through the game, there's speed chips and secret chips. Speed chips are just awarded for a player beating a level in a certain amount of time, in less than the average or something like that. They have a specific time you need to beat each level under in order to get the speed chip, and then you have secret chips. And those are just hidden, like, just hidden items that you can collect throughout the game as you play through the levels. And as you, when you find them, they basically offer you more multiplayer levels. The more chips you have, the more multiplayer levels you'll get. And it gets really hectic with the multiplayer. Not hectic, I'm sorry. There's a lot of multiplayer levels, and there's a lot of different features you can unlock by finding these secret chips. And the multiplayer, I didn't play much of it, but you said you played a ton of it.
Yeah, my cousin and I would play so much. That was one of the games that I liked so much that I would, like, always go and try to find all the secret things. Like, a lot of games, I always had so many games to play. Like, even when I was younger, that, like, nothing could really hold my attention for too long because I would be like, oh, such and such has come out. But Metal Arms just, it kept me in its cold, wonderful hands of robot love and, like... saddest robot joy lube love. And by sad, I mean happiest. And I was like, I have to get everything. I have to do everything. And especially because I think I played the multiplayer so much that I wanted to get all the secret chips and get all the multiplayer levels. Because there weren't too many, but once you started unlocking them, it got super cool. And I think when you get all of them, there was a level where you would you could play as the final boss of the game, which is this enormous robot called General Corrosive. They were not very creative with their naming.
I actually
like
the names though. Like,
it's just
puns of like the leader of the Droid Rebellion is Colonel Alloy.
Yeah, Colonel Alloy. And who I think is played by Rip Torn.
My personal favorite character names, though, are the two robots in the very beginning that die. Like,
hosed and screwed.
Screwed and hosed.
Yeah, stick with hosed and screwed.
You'll be fine. And you're like, okay.
Right. And they look at each other like, wow, really? You're throwing us under the bus like this when we're the last two surviving guys? But, yeah, that last multiplayer level, everyone starts on the ground, and you kind of have to work your way up this scaffolding. And like I said, there were, like, enemy robots littered around in most of the levels that you could hijack. Excuse me. You could hijack. But in this one, this final amazing deathmatch level, it was a race to the top of General Corrosive, and then whoever got to the top could hack into him, and you could control him, and you can just wreck shop on everybody. Like, I think you can stomp, and you can swipe with, like, your massive hands. I mean, this guy is, like, if you're the size of, like, a cockroach, he was, like, you know, a full size like tree.
I remember that fight being nuts too.
Yeah. The actual final boss, like in single player, when you fight him, I'm pretty sure I stayed up until like 6 a.m. trying to beat him one night. And that was one of my fondest memories of that game, was just getting so mad. And like, it was that kind of mad where if you feel like you give up, then you're like losing to yourself. So you're like, I know I can do it. And I played so much that I remember I heard like stirring, and my mom like came out of her room to like go to work. And she was like, it was almost like an Iron Giant moment where she was like, that's actually very fitting, Iron Giant, where he comes in after being out all night and he like lifts up the covers to go to bed. And she's like, you're up already? And he just puts the covers down and he's like, just making the bed. It was kind of like one of those moments. She was like, are you up already? And I was like, I must have like betrayed that I had been up all night because I probably looked like a corpse. And she was like, were you up all night playing video games? And I was like, yeah, leave me alone, Mom. You don't understand my life. I was trying to beat this guy.
I'm a teenager with problems.
Yeah. You'll never understand me. There's just not enough health in this level.
I think we actually covered most of the game here. Is there anything else that you can think of?
I mean, we could talk a little bit more about the diversity of it, because that's one of my favorite things about it versus other games of that era and that type, like your shoot 'em up platformer type games. So like I mentioned, there's like there's vehicles, there's racing levels, there's that one level where you play as the flamethrower guy.
There's another level where you play as like his name is Moser, not Moser but Moser, M-O-S-E-R, where he's a giant robot with a stick.
Yes,
he has a giant like steel I-beam. Club.
Yeah,
it's like, and he's just running.
That's
through
one of
just
my favorites. Vroom. Literally just hold forward and like. Jam the attack button the whole time,
and you just win.
Sweeping guys. Like
and
left
it's
and right.
Just, it's kind of nice that they have levels like that to break up. Because don't get me wrong, I love first person shooters and I love shoot 'em ups and shooters in general. But like when that's all you're doing,
yeah,
that's why shooters are generally only like 5 to 8 hours because they can't really hold people's attention for anything longer than that unless you have some other kind of unique or interesting gameplay.
Yeah. Do you remember what was the? There was that one boss where you're in, like, the arena. He's, like, that huge junk guy. And I think it's right when you get the slingshot, which is also super cool.
That's one of the other secondaries.
Yeah,
you can
I love
hurl
the slingshot.
Grenades farther than you normally could.
Yeah, so, like, normally you can, like... And I think you can use it for any of your secondary weapons, right?
Yeah,
like you
I
can
think
hurl
so.
the other types of grenades. But, like, he just puts it back, like, in the slingshot. And I'm pretty sure you had to... In this boss fight, once you damaged him enough, he would kind of bend over with his mouth open. And you had to, like... I forget if you could throw them in, but I think I used the slingshot, and you just slingshot the grenades into his mouth and blow them up from the inside. That was super cool. That was frustrating for me, too, when I was younger, because I
See,
wasn't sure
I don't
sure
remember
what to
any
do.
Of the boss fights, because like I got pretty far. Like I said, I got pretty far into the game, but I hadn't hit a boss fight yet on my replay. Huh. I beat this game, you know, like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I'm pretty sure you were. He might have been like the leader of the zombie bots, if I remember correctly.
That might have been.
Because I remember him being, like, very, like, to an extent, like, the droids are, like, kind of that classic robot feel, but they're, for the most part, like, clean and they're symmetrical, where all the zombie bots were just jumbles of scrap that would, like, just flail at you. So he might have been the leader of those guys.
I really like just, it's jumping around a little bit, but the feel of the controls, too.
Yeah.
Because the controls had weight to it. Like, it was... Some, I guess you could describe it as floaty because you would like stop, but then he would still keep going because Glitch, he's a metal droid, so he has momentum.
Yeah, he doesn't stop on a dime.
He doesn't stop on a dime. So it's a little floaty because of that, but I actually really, really like that. Like some people hate floaty controls. I actually do not mind them that much.
It depends. Yeah, like it keeps you into the world a little bit. But I do remember being frustrated by his jump sometimes, where like if you come like sliding to a halt, like you'll still be moving a little bit, and if you try to jump, I think sometimes it'll think that you're standing still because you're not pushing the control stick, and you'll just jump straight up into the air and you won't keep going with the momentum.
Even if you're holding forward and running into a wall, he doesn't have any forward momentum, so it does not let you, like, you'll double jump onto a platform and he'll just jump straight up, not forward, so you actually have to back up and even like an inch and you'll be able to
get like
just enough space to
running start
to jump over. So it's, you always need a running start for jumps if you want to actually move forward, which is kind of aggravating, but luckily the levels are designed around to not have tight jumps or anything like that. So it works out really well because the level design, while antiquated a little bit, works out really well. They worked around their control scheme.
Yeah.
So that's why I think the controls work so well, because even though they're a little floaty, they never give you tough platforming to do. It's always like jump up on top of this, jump up on top of that.
Yeah, I think the frustrating part in scenes like that was not that you're like, "Oh, I can't get this jump just right." It's more like I have to get these jumps right while I'm being shot at by like every robot in the world. So
yeah, that's what made it. I don't know. I love that. That game is chaotic. It is a very
is, especially
it's a chaotic shooter.
Yeah.
Like even like this, what you were playing the third level where you had to control that vehicle we were talking about, like the little claw, like hovercraft claw machine.
Yeah.
And there is so much happening in that one scene, it's absurd. Like there's just there are like these weird, almost they almost look like the what are the flying vehicles in Halo? I'm blanking
on
the
Sentinels?
Name. Not the Sentinels.
The Banshees.
Banshees. They almost look like Banshees. But they're just, you know, a little bit different.
Smaller
and not, you can't fly them, they're just robots. But there's like a whole cave, surprisingly a cave, filled with them and the little Millbots, and it's chaos.
That was kind of frustrating. And also, because it's an older game, I've been spoiled now with newer games, you'll get like visual cues or auditory cues when you're running low on health, like the blurriness, or like every game does like the red around the edges when you're about to die. This game does not do that. Like, I think your character will spark a little bit, but if you're not paying attention, like I looked up and I was like, oh, I have 1 pixel of health left, and before I knew it, I was exploding.
You're gone.
But oh, speaking of death, actually, one of my favorite little like nobody's really going to care about this except me things about this game that I feel like I need to say is this is one of those few games where when you die, the world would kind of keep going around you, and you could, it was sort of like Half-Life or that era of like PC shooters where you would die and you had to like click to respawn or load again. So like on certain missions, I would always like when I was messing around in this game, you could like when you like recruit guys for your team and you knew there was going to be a bunch of enemies, sometimes I would run out and get killed like on purpose just so I could like let the camera spin around and I'd watch my guys like fight the robot guys and just like see who would win and then be like
ugh. it's usually the enemy
usually yeah I mean they've got like
the
rockets and stuff.
The droids are pretty useless with their mining lasers. They're little, just like pew, 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 pew. Does like no damage.
Meanwhile these giant like mech Titans warriors are like stomping them into the dirt.
No, the game, like you said, I mean, I know we kind of like went over a little bit. I mean, went off of it a little bit, but the diversity of it is really, that's what makes it, I think that's what makes it for me.
Yeah.
It's a very diverse game, so it always, it never feels, like every time you play it, it never, it's never that boring.
Yeah.
Like, I have not been bored playing this game once yet, and it's been really, I don't know, it's a really, really fun game. And one of the things I always like to focus on with this podcast is nostalgia in general. That's pretty much like every gaming podcast kind of has their angle.
Yeah.
Some people are more informative. Some people are more, informative education. Some people are more trying to be funny. I try to, you know, maybe we'll be funny, maybe we won't be.
Yeah,
I always go for more of like the feel of it. Because everyone who listens, who is a gamer or listens to gaming podcasts, especially ones talking about old games, everyone is always striving for those rose-colored glasses feel of the nostalgia. Like, everyone wants that nostalgia. And you'll get nostalgia for different things as you get older because, you know, you associate it with different times in your life, and that's why you remember games fondly. So, like, Metal Arms, I just always associate to, like, junior high and going down to my friend's house and playing it. And that's why a lot of the games I choose are always ones that, you know, I have a nostalgic connection to, and eventually I'll pick games that I don't have a nostalgic connection to. I mean, actually, no, I already have done that.
Really?
Now that I think about it. Well, I never grew up with Metroid, but Metroid still makes me feel nostalgic because I love old games and everything like that. So,
well, it's a lot like Castlevania too. Yeah. Like, that's why Metroidvania is a.
But yeah. So.
Oh, speaking of singing, the music in Metal Arms is fantastic. Did you see that segue?
Nice segue there. We're so professional.
I know.
Profesh. The music is really good. I mean, it's very like electronic rock. Would you say?
It was very that era of.
Did you say Nine Inch Nails ish?
I mean, it almost had like that kind of industrial feel. Yeah, yeah. Now that I think about it, like the main theme, like the which always reminded me of Invader Zim for some reason.
Well, the music is fantastic. It all the voice acting is surprisingly good too.
Yeah, they
just
had,
talking
like,
about sound
A-list actors. Some of I'm pretty sure. I mean, again, feel free to correct me, but I'm pretty sure that like General Alloy is voiced by Rip Torn, who, you know, if you don't know, was Zed or the leader in the Men in Black movies. We're not hosting an intergalactic kegger.
I'm doing the totally professional thing and hoping that my internet works, and I'm checking IMDb. I'm checking the thing right now. No, the voice acting was really good. I mean, the voice acting was really solid. Like, every character is really funny. It's really interesting. Even like the basic enemies, just
yeah.
It kind of reminds me of grunts from Halo. I know we've been like kind of comparing this to Halo.
We've just been
talking
about Halo the whole time. Yeah, the grunts in Halo were the best. Like, oh, and now that I'm sick, I can do a good...
Oh, snap. There's actually a lot of good voice actors in this.
Oh, yeah?
Sorry, I know we're a little... I mean, come on, hurry up and load, but it's rated 9 out of 10 on IMDb. IMDb, I don't know why. It's just faster for me to find the voice actors than, like, Googling
it or Wikipedia. Oh,
but
I use IMDb.
I'm waiting for it to load, but Dan Castellaneta is one of the voice actors in it. He's really famous for, I believe, The Simpsons. I know he was on a lot of good stuff. Patrick Walburton.
Who's
He's Kronk. He is.
Oh yeah. Joe. Hey, yeah, it is.
I can't do any impressions today. Glitch is Dave Wittenberg. Kronk, who's the old man bot that always swears at
of
you.
Of course, I can fix that.
Dan Castellaneta. Rob Paulsen. He's the voice of Wacko from Animaniacs.
His name was Robert Paulsen.
Moser is Patrick Walburton. Corey Burton is Colonel Alloy. So, all right. So, I don't see.
So, Rip I was Torn. Wrong about Rip Torn then.
But yeah, no.
Sorry, YouTube. You probably already. Yeah, corrected me.
I was right. So before people start raging, Dan Castellaneta is on The Simpsons. I thought so.
Yeah, I kind of got the feeling from listening to all the good guy robots talk. I was like, I know all of your voices from a
He's
bunch
Homer
of cartoons.
Simpson.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh my god, I would have been castrated, digitally castrated.
Yeah.
But all right, that. Wraps it. I mean, do you have anything else? Any other thoughts on it? Like, I think we covered sound, we covered combat, we covered gameplay itself. Well, that was the combat part, and all the different, the diversity of it.
The diversity of it. I was going to say when we were talking about diversity, there's, I can't think of any other game that's done anything like this, but there was literally a level where you get disassembled, like, down to every little part, and you just control the head. Do you remember that? When you're just the head, and you have to go find your body?
I don't remember that at all.
Man.
Yeah, believe it, though, because every point in the game, you have a chance to get disassembled, and, when you control Tether, an enemy glitch disassembles himself and goes back in.
Yeah, so you get, I think, captured by the enemies, and I remember there's one funny cutscene where one of the enemies is pushing you, and he's some kind of evil doctor something, and he's like, he says something along the lines of, "Tonight I'm going to meet my dream bot, and I'm going to lube it up, and I'm going to put it on in." But he's singing, so you don't quite catch it until the next couple times you hear it. I'm like, did he just say lube it up and put it on in? You guys really have to look it up, or if you can
I'm gonna
find
it.
The footage of that.
I don't know if I can find the footage, but I'll try.
Oh my gosh, it's so funny. But yeah, you get disassembled, and your body is separated. So kind of, again, another parallel to the Iron Giant. When he's separated, I guess he can control the separate parts of his body sometimes.
Yeah.
So you'll just be the head bouncing around. You have to flip switches and get on conveyor belts and stuff and find the rest of your body.
This at all. I need to finish. I mean, I said in my last mini episode that I'm playing Final 15, and that's still true.
Same.
But as soon as I beat Final 15, I need to replay this because I don't remember that at all. I remember Sniper Alley was the latest in the game that I remember. I don't even remember the final boss. I remember it's General Corrosive, but I don't remember what the fight is.
It's like that. It's like a big round room, and you have to run around. And there's, I think the evil scientist is up behind some glass, and he's controlling the big robot who's in the room with you.
Spoiler alert!
Oh no, the evil scientist that they say has disappeared in the beginning actually is alive the whole time.
Who
would have
guessed? I guess we didn't. We really went over the story really quickly. Add a little bit more detail to it, you are your character's name, once again, like we've said a million times already, is Glitch. He's found in a junkyard, essentially. And so he's rescued by the droids, and they say, "Welcome to the Droid Rebellion. Here's the history." And it gives you an old, it looks like a 1950s,
propaganda film. Or a training video.
This is Iron Star, made from debris and
space crap.
And so they tell you about how, droid civilization, bloomed and, it flourished. That's the word I was looking for, flourished, not bloomed. And
that's kind of the same thing.
Yeah, well, whatever. I wanted to say flourished, though, not bloomed.
Probably don't have flowers in Robot World.
Metal flowers.
Yeah, that'd be a good band name.
This doctor creates trying to advance droids to beyond what they currently were, and in doing so, a horrible accident happened, yada yada yada, very comic booky, and he disappears, but what's left is General Corrosive, who then creates the Millbots and then takes over the world pretty much. And so you're part of the Droid Rebellion, you fight back, and
it's very cliche, but that's very okay.
Well, I'm pretty
get that
sure
tattooed.
I'm pretty sure that the very opening cutscene when they find Glitch's body before they bring him back to life, he's got a weird marking on his head.
Tattoo.
I'm pretty sure because you know how the world of Halo was created by the Forerunners.
Wow, did they really just I think they might have ripped off Halo a little bit in this game.
Oh, I wouldn't even say that. Yeah.
I don't think they intentionally did, but there's got to be a reason we keep going back and talking about Halo. And it's not just because I love it so much that I would have sex with it if you told me to.
What?
Oh, wait. Shoot, I didn't know I was recording this whole time.
No. So he has that weird marking, and I'm pretty sure it's a sign of, like, what did they say? It wasn't the Load Runners. That's a video game.
The Forerunners and the Load Runners. No, it was like the old, because when you get into the old, I think the Sniper Alley is in, when you go, like, you take this huge elevator down into the core of the planet, and there's, like, the old robot civilization.
Yeah.
But they were, like, wiped out, but I think he turns out to be, spoiler alert, your main character is a member of the last civilization. He's the last member of
And that's why they even say in the beginning that he's like, Luxor's. I've never seen a droid like this before. Foreshadowing.
Yeah. What's what's Ratchet and Clank's? What's Ratchet's race?
A Lombax.
Lombax, yeah. He's a Rombax. He's a robot Lombax.
Well, if you haven't played the Ratchet games, he does find out he's not the last Lombax.
Oh, spoiler alert! We can't be friends anymore.
Oh, you're fine. Rub some dirt on it. Good to go. So that pretty much sums up Metal Arms. Thank you very much, Andrew, for coming on and talking with me about this.
My pleasure. I definitely want to do it more because I love old games that no one should care about. I mean, that no one knows about but should care about. Yeah, like this.
You can, if you want to follow me and my shenanigans, which I don't really post that much, but I try to at least once or twice a week, you can follow me at StillLoadingPod on Twitter and Facebook. Andrew, do you have anything you'd like to promote?
The only thing I can really think of is I do a small business of customizing video game controllers. So you can look me up at on Facebook at Kinsey Customs. So it's KinseyKustom. If you can't tell, I'm a big fan of Mortal Kombat and spelling things incorrectly with K's. So it's Kinsey Customs or Facebook.com/KinseyCustomsOfficial. And you can bother me on there and I'll make you a sweet controller.
Woohoo! All right, guys. Thank you very much for listening, and I will see you again in 2 weeks.
All right.
Go ahead and hit the stop button. So then we can check the levels and so say a couple things into the mic.
Check, check. Microphone check, 1, 2, what is this? Yeah. MC Kobo. DJ Kims. About to drop this fire new mixtape. All right, thank y'all for listening. Subscribe.